Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
You know, a deep sea diver and a spacewalker have a great deal in common. Each one is brave enough to enter into a hostile world. Deep sea diver and the astronaut must take what gives them life with them. They have to enter into the dark worlds in which they go, equipped. They are human beings. They do not live in water, nor do they live in the vast expanse of space. Those two environments have no oxygen. Women and men need oxygen to live. So in order to live, each one of these people, the deep sea diver and the astronaut, take with them oxygen to sustain their lives. They also have to have light because the world in which they enter is dark and they can't see without the light they take with them. And they need warmth because the deep sea diver and the astronaut are not warmed by the sun. They're cold in space or in water deep down. And so, without these life sources that they take with them, they wouldn't last long in the brave new world that they inhabit. That's how it is with Christians. Christians need certain things in order to survive in this world. We need another life source. A life source that we take with us as we go into this hostile world that we live in from another world. We need breath. We need the breath of the Holy Spirit. We need light by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And we need warmth, the warmth of God's love living in us and through us. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, forgive our sins. Allow us to come into your presence, being drawn by the Holy Spirit. May the words that I speak be your words. May anything that comes from me be simply cast out, because it is nothing. But those words that come from you are filled with life, and we seek those words today. We seek the equipping that only your Holy Spirit can give us. We need a life source from another world, from the world in which your Spirit comes. We need you every hour to sustain our lives and give us oxygen to breathe and light to see and warmth to keep us mobile and going forward to achieve your purposes in this world. Father, we ask that you would give us those things today. For we ask in the only name we know to ask, and the only name that you have exalted above all other names, in the name of our Lord and of our Savior and of our Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you look with me into John, and we'll look at verse 8. Jesus is telling his disciples that he's about to send another comforter. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me. The first task of the Holy Spirit is to disturb our complacency, to awaken us to the consequences of sin. Jesus offers us forgiveness of sin, a right relationship with the Father, and deliverance from the judgment that is to come. But nobody seems to listen. They do not believe me, he says. That is why we say, unless the Spirit calls you, you cannot come. Because the Spirit comes in place of Jesus to touch the innermost parts of our hearts and souls, to bring us to safety. The world today doesn't understand sin. I stood in this pulpit some weeks ago and said that I enjoyed preaching about a particular subject because I got to talk about the entire tapestry of God. But I said I had sorrow in my heart because today I can't preach that message, knowing that there are people who do not understand the basics. They do not understand what sin is. We live in a world where people do not understand the concept of sin, and so they don't look for a Savior. Why would they look for a Savior when they do not consider the things that they are doing sinful? Why would they look for a Savior from something they are doing? And if they can't look for a Savior, then they do not look at the cross, because the cross is just a symbol of suffering. They don't understand it. They don't understand anything if you can't understand sin. People have turned their backs on God and the worship and praise He demands. Some of us have too. Maybe not completely, but certainly our hearts are hardened. We have grown cold. We are not warm. And because we are not warm or cold, Jesus says He spews us out of His mouth. See, we've created a new order, an order where sin is in the eye of the beholder. You may have embraced the biblical saying, which is of course true because it comes from the Bible. It says that sin is pleasurable for a season. Some people have extrapolated that to mean that their whole lives are the season for sin, because they continue to sin all the time. They don't see any reason to turn from the things that displease God. Some say, well, listen, if it feels good, do it. Some who have greater ethical positions say, if it feels good and doesn't hurt anybody, then do it. But they completely ignore a holy God. That is who we sin against. We sin against the holiness and authority of God. We've grown very complacent. We need to be disturbed. We sing, send us a revival. What are we saying? We're saying we need to be awakened. Now, no one likes to be awakened. When I'm asleep, I don't want Sandra hitting me and saying, hey, you're snoring, put on your mask. Which she will do from time to time. But you know, if the house is burning down and someone cries out fire and awakens you, you may be angry to begin with, but you're going to be very thankful that you escaped the flames because someone thought enough of you to awaken you. That is what the Holy Spirit does. He allows us to sense the sense of sin within us. It says in the Scripture that He comes to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin. He wants us to understand that we cannot continue the way we're going. We have to turn over a new leaf. If it was not for the Holy Spirit, we too would not see what Jesus was saying. He illuminates the Word for us. He shows us what is wrong so that we can avoid doing those things that are wrong. That's the first work of the Holy Spirit, to show us what is wrong, to disturb us in our complacency, so we see the need for the gospel and we're ready to hear it. You know, today you can go out and you can hand out tracts and you can tell people the good news of Jesus Christ, but unless their hearts are already prepared by the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to find that most of the time you are rebuffed because they don't want to hear it. They're not ready to hear it. We need to be thankful to God for His disturbing work, for breaking us up. You know, how often have I said, you know, God used that to break me. I am so thankful to God that He humbles me. I was driving in the car with Christopher. I said, I'm not like I used to be anymore. And he understood that. I have changed. I am changing. I will be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit to humble me and to chip away everything that doesn't look like Jesus. We refuse to listen to God sometimes when He disturbs us. I have a little photograph that hangs in my house. I bought it in San Antonio by a man who does these kinds of photographs all the time. And he puts a little something in letters that you can read. And on this particular one, there is this really dark scene of the hill country of Texas. It's very, very dark. The clouds are very heavy upon it. You can't hardly make out anything in the horizon. But there is a bolt of lightning coming right straight down the picture. And a little saying that says, I have many ways of reaching you. That's on my wall. Because I can testify to you, God has many ways of reaching you. And if you're not awakened by the gentle tugging of His touch on your sleeve, you may be awakened a little harder or a little harder. It may be that you have to go through various things in your life before you understand that, hey, God's trying to get my attention. First thing that God does is try to destroy our foolishness of heart so that we focus on Him. We do not resist the Holy Spirit when He awakens us to the concept of sin in our life. The Holy Spirit is a wonderful expression of God's grace and mercy. Look at John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father will testify of me, and you will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit of God comes like an ambassador for Christ. His identity is his own. He's not to be confused with God the Father or God the Holy. He is God the Holy Spirit, but he's not to be confused with any of the other two portions of the Godhead, the Father or the Son. When I send you the Comforter, the Counselor, it's going to be good for you. Look at verse 14 of chapter 16. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say he will take of mine and declare it to you. The second work of the Holy Spirit of God is to cast a spotlight on Jesus. I've walked on a stage, and when you're on the stage, you have a thing that is told to all actors, seek the light. That's the reason that so many people who are spear carriers will try to mug into the light, because they want everyone's attention to be drawn to them. The spotlight follows the lead actor across the stage. And even though there are house lights, that spotlight puts him in greater focus. You attend him because your eyes are drawn to the light. The Holy Spirit of God cast his spotlight on Jesus. He does not draw attention to himself, but he turns our focus to Jesus. There is no order of rank between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is no position or rank. God the Father is the giver. He chose to be the giver. For God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? He gave his Son, who chose to be the gift. And the Holy Spirit said, I will deliver the gift to all of mankind who is willing to receive him. And so they have a beautiful kind of ministry. And once again, we are confronted with the magnificence of the Trinity. But the Holy Spirit shows us our need of a Savior and then puts the spotlight on the Savior. And he brings the two of them together in our lives, our need and our Savior. Finally, he comes to us to be our counselor and friend. In John 14, verses 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit has been at work throughout all of recorded history. In Genesis 2, 1 and 2, he hovers over the water. It says the Spirit of God hovers over the water. All through the Old Testament, he's with the prophets, he's with the priests, he's with the kings. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 139, 7 through 10, David asked that the Holy Spirit should not be taken out of His presence. He should not be removed from His presence. The fullness of God the Father, invisible. The fullness of the Father, the fullness is God the Father, invisible. The fullness of God with us is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. The fullness of God is the Holy Spirit who is in us. It is the fullness of the Trinity. One God, three persons. Jesus said, I will send another counselor, so the Spirit is never to be confused with the Son. They have distinctively different identities. But where the Spirit of Christ is, it says in verse 18, in chapter 16, that they say, therefore, what is this? And He says, a little while, we do not know what He is saying. Where the Spirit of God is, where He's disturbing us, where He's showing us the light, where He is within us, when He comes within us, there too is Christ. Jesus said something even more astonishing. He said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. So if you have received the Spirit of God, you have also opened the door and received God the Father and God the Son. You have received the fullness of God. That means God is with you. God is with you. The Father is with you. The Son is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. In the hardest challenges of life, it means that He is with you. He makes His home with you in the sunshine and in the dark. He is our help, our shield. God is our supply. He is the supply we take with us when we go out into this dark world. He is our oxygen. He is our light. And He is within us. Because He goes beyond the work of a counselor, a pastor, a friend. He sheds lights on the problems we face. He's able to touch the deepest places in your will. He's able to cleanse your imagination and heal your memory. He alone creates new desires within you that you would follow God. He empowers you to do it. He creates in you faith in Jesus Christ, since He shines the spotlight on Jesus. God's Spirit is with you. And therefore, you can't ever say, oh, I'm too little, or I'm too old, or I'm too this, or I'm too that. The Spirit of God is with you. God is with you. Think about what that means. God is with you. He is with you all the time. Even in your weakness, God is with you. So don't ever say that you can't change, or don't ever let the enemy tell you that you're defeated. You're not. You're more than conquerors through Christ that strengthens you. You're more than who you were before, because God is living in you. If you've received Jesus Christ, you've received the Father, who receives me, receives the Father. If you've received the Holy Spirit, you've received the entire Trinity of God is with you, walking with you every day. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You have God with you. He is not just your partner. He's not just your sidekick. He's not just your co-pilot. He's the pilot of your life. He's the one that guides you and directs you. He is the one that gives you wings to fly. Fullness of God is with you. And by the Spirit of God, you have received Him. He's going to carry you through now, this journey that we're on now, and throughout all eternity. God is with you. The life source you have sought is here to take you into and through a hostile world all the way into heaven and beyond. because God is with you. You shall live. You shall have eternal life because God is with you. He is the life source that breathes on you. He is the life force that gives you illumination. He is the life force that makes His arms wrap around you and makes you warm, even though you're walking through a very cold place. He is your Creator. He longs for you to be back home to Him. The choir sang a beautiful trilogy of songs. They started out with, "We're home." I want you to know that when God is with you, when the Holy Spirit has disturbed your sleep and actually convicted you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of that sin, when He has shed the spotlight on Jesus and you've said, "I have sinned, I need a Savior," and you've reached out and you've grasped Jesus, who promises, "No one comes to me that I will not embrace. I will in no way cast him out." If you have allowed the Holy Spirit to breathe on you and you have been filled by His presence, you now have the Godhead within you. It is not just something we say. It is something we live by every day. The Holy Spirit directs our paths. The Holy Spirit calls us. The Holy Spirit leads us toward Jesus, who has gone to prepare a place for us, that where He is, we shall be also. God is one. "Hear, O hear, Israel, the Lord thy God is one." He is in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are not ranked. There are too many times when I see people that say, "Oh, well, I just want the Spirit without the Father, the Son." You can't have the Spirit without having all three. You can't have Christ without the Spirit or without the Father. You can't have the Father without the one He sent or the one He sent to deliver the gift. You have to embrace all three if you want His embrace. The Spirit of God, we sang, is in this very room. Jesus promised, "Wherever two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of you." I believe that we have more than two or three that have gathered in His name. Therefore, I know He's here. And so it is a somber thing to open up the invitation to life. But we do it with the joy of knowledge, of knowing that awakening to the need within us for a Savior, the sin we have upon us, allows us to come to the One who can take it from us and wash us white as snow. The Holy Spirit must descend upon us first and awaken us to His presence.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the Internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.